right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather and get into this book again. Lord, we pray as we come to this every time, but you would just let us see what you want us to see and hear what you want us to hear. Father, we thank you for the discussion that we have. We thank you that you are who you are and that you are always on the throne. Be with us this evening and just let us dig out of this what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. We're starting out this chapter now where it says, Israel desire for a king, this is on page 388, led to greater spiritual calamity. And I like that word, spiritual. And we know at this time, this is in 1 Samuel, that now that they're to the point where they're complaining, and they say, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And at that time, all the other nations would have been Nephilim nations. But the first time I read this and did it, I didn't think that much about it. But when I was going back through this to get ready for this time, I thought, isn't that really us? Mm-hmm. Isn't a bigger percentage of America, don't we probably say, we want a president, mm-hmm. we want a congressman, we want a mayor, we want a governor, somebody to lay down some rules and help us what to do instead of just depending on God. So we got some footsteps. So I'm not sure how far out of line things are now as compared to maybe how they were then when you look at how over the years how we've turned our back on God and shoved him out of everything and look to the people that are put in office to dictate over us, really. It's kind of what it is. So, the Nephilim might be different to the extent of how they were then, but there's some other things that I think might be pretty similar to some of that stuff. I don't know. Just seemed to me. So, and it displeased Samuel when they told him that, and that's what, when God, it's not the first time he's been mad at him. And when God told Samuel that they didn't reject you, they rejected me, so just let them have what they want. We'll see how that goes for them. So I always think about, be not deceived. Whatever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. So I think sometimes those seeds you plant, they can be good seeds or bad seeds. And that's what I always heard him say, know what seed you plant so you know when your harvest comes up. So you ought to be able to see which is coming from whatever you put in the ground. The deceiving part goes plumb back to, it mentions in here to Eve in the garden where she was deceived, by Satan, you shall be as gods, what he told her. Mm. And again, and I circled this, it says this same spirit inspired the notion of a king. And again, spirit. That's why I think sometimes the spiritual part of things is so much more powerful than the physical part of things. I mean, when you get to the spirit world, there's good and bad. And so they're both present. It's just like heaven and hell, they're both present. And depending on what you let in, it's where the force is going to come from or what direction you're going to go on. I think.
Sometimes I think the manifestation in the flesh is from the spirit, part of the side of it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, what's that? That's good. It says that from the excess of the heart is what comes out of the mouth.
Yeah.
So, it's the same.
Satan set him up to want a king. And look, his plan, how long it's gone on.
Yeah.
Like you said, it started then and it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Satan's played that well.
Yeah. This one passage in here. Here it says, after the flood, Nimrod, the grandson of Ham, reestablished monarchy as he attempted to rule the entire world population from Babel. Nimrod demonstrated not just the military might, but the spiritual influence kings held over their subjects. He persuaded the populace of the known world to unite in defying the Lord. And I circled that and wrote cult out beside it. To me, that was the mindset of what we hear about cults today, that one guy can influence the whole bunch to think like him. And not only was Nimrod, we talked about, maybe the first Antichrist, he might have been the first cult leader, I don't know. So,
well, that's what they're trying to do now, is to make everybody think like they do, and if you don't, well,
you're put down.
they'll make you pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. as we go on there, that interesting. There were 33 kings, so I noticed that number.
Yeah.
33. You bet, 33. I mean, that ain't just a coincidence anymore. It might have been at sometimes a few years past, just been a coincidence, but because of what we've studied, we notice those things, I think, a lot more, and I think that's good.
It makes it so much more interesting, too.
Yeah.
And it puts pieces where you wouldn't have pieces.
Yeah. I mean, it ties you know, some things together.
33. I mean, there's
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. You know, God's plan, it said, you know, that no human or angelic king over the nations, the Lord himself was going to rule. But, you know, they were bound and determined. You know, that's what they wanted. You know, and then it says there in Judges, you know, they wanted Gideon to be, you know, he said, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So he wasn't even going to give Junior a chance to say if he would or wouldn't. Dad was going to talk for both of them.
I reread this again this week, and the thought crossed my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, so please say so, but did you ever think that maybe, because Satan is a mimicker, he doesn't have anything new, but he knows the Bible, and he knows in the end, the millennial kingdom, when Jesus is going to be the king and rule over, do you suppose that's what he's trying to mimic all through history, to set up his own kind of millennial kingdom? And I think there's a direct tie there because he wouldn't have thought of putting a king up. But he would try to mimic what Jesus is going to be on earth. Jesus is going to be an earthly king.
And that might have started like you talked about in the garden.
In the beginning.
Yeah, because he had already been to the divine council.
He knew.
He knew who was in charge and who basically, if you want to call a king, I mean Christ the king, you know, king of kings, he knew. And so he wanted to be that king. So that is from that time until still today.
He still
wants everybody to bow. Now, he could care less about those, whether you do or don't. You know, if you do, he don't care about you at all. That's the thing that's so, how those that follow him are deceived.
Yeah.
They think he really cares about them.
It's a mockery and a bribery of sorts to get people to notice him as king and by having an earthly king. That's what I think. Maybe not.
And it might be like you talk, it might be a sidekick to the blood war.
Yes.
I mean, he knows he's got to tank the blood war, and he keeps failing at that.
Yeah.
Well, this might be second best.
Well, yeah.
I mean, just like he told, you know, told Jesus, I own all this. If you bow, I'll give all this to you if you'll bow down to me.
And when Jesus did not discount that.
No.
He
didn't argue with him at all.
This
world. Yeah. So it's just another door.
I just think it's an example of him trying to do everything Jesus does.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is short deal says that, you know, the Israelite, you know, they insisted on a king to mirror the heathen nations around them. You know, it's what they saw. You know, it's what they wanted. And it said decades. And I just put a long time. Now, decades is a long time. Mm. So we, you know, and like Bev said, they've been headed this direction or trying for since a long time. You know, we've studied all the different things of how they've gone to and where they went. And again, there's that word spiritual corruption. I mean, if you can get you from within, then that's going to, you know, I think that just, I mean, it's just, I think it's just a thing of, I mean, the spirit is so much more dominating, I think, when it takes control than the physical.
But in Ephesians it says that our fight's not against flesh and blood.
That's right. Exactly.
The principalities. And we forget that.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. I mean that's the same passage when it talks about putting on the full armor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
From head to toe.
Yeah. But I mean and we've talked about that. I think that's easily discounted.
Yeah. Most pastors don't want to.
And I think and it's because it's unknown for some, you know, or it's
scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Maybe that's kind of scary in the spiritual world.
But you also said something about what people see. People, you know, they have this tunnel vision, and they go by what they see, not what they believe, or what is the truth.
Or what the Word says.
It's, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by what we see.
Yeah.
It's like Thomas. you know, God told him, Thomas, those that believed without seeing, you know.
Blessed are they.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's right. I mean, you apply that to the old and new. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament saints should be more revered than us because we've seen.
Yeah.
They knew it was coming.
They had.
Forward. So.
But even the ones at the bottom of the mountain waiting for Moses, they didn't see him coming. So they thought, you know, they was going to do it their own way.
Yeah.
We'll make us a golden calf. Gee, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Got tired of waiting. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Want something right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it talks about there about the Nephilim being a true snare.
Oh yeah.
And
always.
And I just put, you know, how many times as kids were we told, or do you tell your kids association? Mm. I mean, it's a lot easier to be pulled down to the group that's trying to drag you some direction than it is to get them up to where you're at keep going.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just easier to go down than it is to go up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're look like you said, when you're looking around and that's what you want to follow, part of the crowd. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and maybe too, they thought, you know, we ain't seen them struggling like we've been struggling for all these years.
They probably won't.
No.
No, they're not. The Satan's not going to attack them because here's the deal. Jesus says the world will hate you. It hated me too.
Yeah.
And the world's not going to hate. Satan's not going to play the hate game against his minions and his followers because he's got them right where he wants them.
Yeah.
He doesn't want them looking over at the God side.
No.
He already snagged for hell. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should not threaten him.
That's right. They're not. They're right where he wants them. And we, on the other hand, we should not be surprised. Jesus told us that.
I heard a saying one time, all hell breaks loose when you become a Christian or when you decide to follow God.
True.
Yeah.
Because then that's when you're a threat to him. But until that point, you're not a threat.
It's mamby-pamby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy life.
Yeah, I mean I was thinking that's very good. Uh-huh. That point. I mean, what's he got to lose if you're following him?
Yeah.
So, and that's why too. Sometimes it's so good. Like if new believers are so full of zeal,
they
got to really be fired up to get through the initial stage because you know the attack's coming.
I love it.
That's what there's some deception to some that they think, you know, when I get saved, everything's going to be good. Mm-hmm. That's not.
No,
you know, it's not. So,
at first,
you know,
God allowed them, I think, in his mercy. They have the most exciting experiences and such.
Yeah.
But then you get
that's to get prepared.
All around.
Yeah. Have you seen that older lady? She's got dementia. She's sitting there, and I don't know who this man is, but he's carrying on about, look at you. Look at the state you're in. Look at everything I have. Look at all he's accomplished and all he's done. And she calmly, I can't think of how she says it, tells him that but he's living his best life now.
Here.
Here. And he's headed to hell.
And she's got the best life to look forward to.
Yeah. You know,
this is the only hell we'll ever experience.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to heaven.
Absolutely.
But for those that are not, this is the only heaven they'll ever experience.
That's a good analogy.
Because theirs is getting worse.
Gotta get real fiery.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as good as it gets.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Yep. The next passage is just a reiteration of, you know, where God says, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. And and I noted, like Bev said, I mean, the Israelites, they've been doing that since day one. Mm. You know, they just cannot not, you know, complain, you know, turn away.
I think that 400 years in Egypt just molded them into being pagan worshipers.
I think so. And I think, too, it's like anything, when you get comfortable, you know, if you get in a pattern where, I don't have to think for myself.
Yeah.
All I have to do.
Follow the crowd.
Yeah, what somebody else tells me to do, this. And then if you do that for 400 years, when you get out and get turned loose on your own, you're like a lost sheep.
They are.
You don't know how to think, what to do for yourself, or anything.
You
so
back to those old
that's right. It's natural
yeah.
to always want to go back.
Yeah.
To go back to some
back
some security or something that you understand or something that you know that
Satan
that's common.
Whispering to you to come on. Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
400 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were so steeped in that.
Yeah. 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 And he just says, you know, despite the prophet's warning, disastrous consequences, you know, came from it. There's a line here at the top that says, this was a grave danger the kings posed. Their decisions led the nation either closer or further away from God. And I wrote down church pastors. I mean, if they're, which way they take you is, again, where if you're going to follow, it's where you're going to go. I remember I told Henry one time, I said, you know, I want you to be these things because you can't take me where you haven't been. So, you know, you got no way of knowing how to get me either delivered from something or blessed by or anything. If you haven't been there, you don't know how to get me there. So, you know, I don't want you to be beat up and broke down and all this stuff. So, yeah. Yeah.
Expert in that.
That's right. Yeah. Then we get into Solomon. He says, a third king of Israel. He says, not surprising, and I wish at least Tom was here for this next line, so there'll be two of us, but it says, his ascent into spiritual rebellion came through marriage, which I put down women. So I'm sorry, ladies. He put it in here. I didn't put that in here. That's just what it says. You know, it says he had, I mean, this is after their laws was already laid down about how many and what to and not to do. And there was nothing Solomon did that he wasn't supposed to. I mean, everything he did was something he wasn't supposed to do. It says 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women.
He wouldn't even know
their
names.
No. You know, I don't
know. Hey, I want to ask you a question. And I had not seen that till this time, where it said Solomon loved many strange, and I underlined that. That's the third sentence down in that second paragraph, strange women. That's the same word when the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot out. It said they were lusting after strange flesh. I'm wondering if Solomon didn't have some Nephilim wives. Or women, or concubines, or whoever.
I'm sure he did.
Because that strange word is the same thing
yeah.
that those angels talked about in that Sodom and Gomorrah feast, and they know there was Nephilim in there
yeah.
they were having sex with. Do you think it's?
I think so. Because, you know, it says there that it gives it. You know, where those some of those
yeah,
women
the
came
Ites,
from, those tribes, the Ites.
Well, and the word "strange" though, that's the same Bible word.
Same word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think he had Nephilim women.
I mean, and because he got those, that's how he got led down
got
to the pagan idol. I mean, whatever they wanted, that's what
he—that's
what he did. So yeah,
I've
yeah.
never seen that before.
No, that's yeah.
You know, words matter.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
And
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah. So then we get into where we're split 10 and 2.
Yeah.
And there's just you just don't see much about good. I mean, it said, you know, Jeroboam, the first one of the northern tribe. I mean, it says wicked. So, golden calves, you know, and they brought them out, you know. And again, there that one line, it says, so the devil's Nephilim armies were wiped out. Their spiritual legacy, again, spiritual legacy, poisoned the hearts and minds of the 12 tribes. I mean, he said, don't marry. Don't bring them into your family and don't send any of yours to them. And they just did, they did everything that they wouldn't.
Well, and it's even worse. God said, kill them all.
That was the first thing.
Bing, cha-ching, and you didn't do it, so no, here we've got them again.
Yeah, that was the first thing, yeah.
That was not my word.
No. Poor old Joshua just didn't live long enough.
He didn't, or Caleb. So they were trying.
Yeah.
Those two got it right.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah. Talks about the king of Assyria, and we've talked about
that
in the past in the book, and and how bad that was
evil.
For everything. Yeah. This next, it says, the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built them, it's always high places, high hill, high places, and they brought wicked things to provoke. I mean, the Tower of Babel is what I thought of when it talked about building those high places and high thing. I mean, it's just to get, I mean, I heard it say one time where they thought they were getting to a portal, and we talked about where.
We talked about that. Then there's another scholar that writes about those high places. He thinks that they had, with the portal, they had a way to bring more fallen angels down.
So I heard L.A. say he thought that's kind of his line of thinking.
He thinks that they could interact with the fallen angel realm and more would come down.
Yeah.
And they liked that because they taught him stuff.
Yeah.
They enticed him down with women and all kinds of. Because they taught him how weapons and all kinds of the secret things.
Yes, yes, yep. It says, "For they served idols," said the Lord said to them, "Ye shall not do this thing." And they again, they says they hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers and did not believe in the Lord their God. And I mean, he's called them a stiff-necked people.
Forever.
The whole time, and they're proving it just exactly, and what they are, they just turned away from all of it. The one phrase in 2 Kings that I thought said they sold themselves. I mean, you hear some people say, you know, they sold yourself to the devil.
Amen.
You know, that's what you know.
That's
but
exactly
it,
what
they did. Yep, sold themselves, and provoked God, you know, anger and. Removed him out of his sight. So, hit the road. It mentions the southern kingdom, the kings of Judah, and of course the line of Judah. That's the tribe where Jesus comes from. And they're just as bad as the rest of them.
And there were a few good kings in the southern kingdom. There were no good kings in the northern kingdom. There were a few good ones, and they lasted 150 years past the northern kingdom, but they still fell.
And they, when they filtered one in, a lot of times you would hear, and then when his son took over, he would take away everything that his dad did, and you know he hadn't been brought up seeing what was done, and just, you know, one would come in and tear down all those idol plans and all the high stuff, and then the next one come in, build it all back.
We all know what Hezekiah was. I mean, he's really one of a hero of faith. And then he has his son Manasseh, who's just a gremlin. He's awful. But that's the pattern we're seeing.
Yeah.
Because God has no grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But you know, you even got that today. You've got families.
We do.
That have good kids that follow the rules, that do what they're supposed to do, and then you got the kids that were all raised under the same house, same rules, same everything, and they fall off.
Yeah.
And go the other direction.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's because everybody has to make their own choice.
Yeah, free will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody has to, is an individual.
Yeah.
Travis, I think this one statement is kind of scary. It's in 2 Kings 17, and you brushed against it, but I want to know what you think about this. It says, "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel." That is an ominous statement. You don't hear that very much.
No, and see, I think when you talk about that, he's brushed up against that. You know, he told Moses, "I'm going to kill them. I'll just get them all, and I'll start again with you." He told Jeremiah, "Don't you pray for him again." So he's been there before, but there was always somebody to go on his face before the Lord to the throne of God praying for those people. And because God loved them and they were obedient to him, he honored them what they asked for. But when this happened, there wasn't nobody there. They had all turned. Yeah.
Angry.
He wasn't just mad. Very angry.
That is scary.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, if you listen to Jack, I mean, there's some of them that brush up on that we're at that point.
Well, I'm now. Wondering, and I guess my question is, have we stepped past the mercy and is God very angry with us? I mean, the abortion number is staggering.
Yeah. And we won't know that until
no.
then. And so all we can do is what we're called to do and what we keep doing.
We
but
kind of feel it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think in the last
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We've crossed
it that. Seems to me that it went from right here to right here.
Yeah.
That fast. That fast.
Badly. Not
that
in,
fast.
Not in a good way, yeah.
But, you know, you also have to look at it as like Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare the city?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Just in our group alone, there's at
there's
least
10.
Ten.
Yeah.
Yes, there's still 10.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're still praying. We're still seeking God. We're still looking
serving.
For that.
Yeah.
And so God is honoring that.
He always will.
Yeah.
He'll always have a remnant. But I'm talking about for the mass population.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I understand. But I mean, all those people, you know, he still
have a chance. I know that. I'm just saying that very when I read that again this week, very angry. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of scary.
And which, you know, that this could be where it wasn't then, but we have the rapture.
I know.
You know, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, then
they,
if
they didn't have a choice.
If it, they just they're all gone.
They're all gone, yeah.
That's it. But we have the hope
we have the
of the rap of the rapture. So but yeah. So
I think where you said it, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, whatever, about how fast I think each day down the road it's even faster than it was.
I think you're right about
the
that.
Day before. I honestly and surely do.
It's like it's exponentially has speeded up.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah. And we talked about that one time about how years then don't seem the same as
they are
of now. How it just
and doesn't Daniel
gets faster, faster, faster.
Daniel says people are going back to and fro in the end times.
Yeah.
That, don't you feel like that? That you don't you meet yourself coming and going sometimes? It's
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean it.
I mean,
I don't know, honestly, and maybe I just was blind and didn't pay attention. But I never noticed all that stuff before. And I don't think it was there, what you see on TV and the commercials
that.
And that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
But it seems like
it's
you watch today and it's not on there. And you turn on the TV tomorrow and every commercial that comes on is that.
It's awful.
Everyone. I mean, it just seems to me that fast.
Yeah.
Just that.
And without resistance. It's bringing up, instead
yeah.
of being, when we saw it 2 years ago, it was, you know, it was terrible. Everybody would be complaining about it. And now,
not a word.
It's lifted up.
Not a
it's
word.
It's like it, yeah, you know, there's a, like an award for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just for an instance, I don't know how many of you guys followed that Met Gala. I don't follow anything, but the next day I read about it. Where all these quote famous people were there. They said the style for this Met Gala this year was naked. That the women all were wearing sheer dresses that you could totally see through. And that everybody thought that was just absolutely normal. Where I think 5 years ago, we would have all gone, ah! And now they just walked in on the red carpet. You could see through everything. And I think it has quickly become. No wonder God is very angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an example that just happened.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful I don't watch TV.
I didn't. I mean, that was on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't have the regular, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to kind of know what's out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. It's like Jack said.
Yeah.
I don't like to watch this either. But I got to watch it for those of you that don't so I can
prepare you for
in.
Keep
now,
you informed. Yeah.
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 I think we just need to have our eyes up because Jesus is close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very close.
I think so. Yeah.
Yay.
Every day, one day. One
there you
year.
Go.
Your face and knees keep look out that window, would you?
Yeah. It's Rehoboam. There's a son of Solomon. And
evil.
Naamah was his wife, an Amorite. Now, Amorite was Lot and one of his daughters, right? That's where they came from. So,
incest.
Yep. So he's pulling that. Yep. And then that one line there, it says, above all that their fathers had done, it's what they had committed. So whatever they did in the past, this is the next level. They just got that much worse. That much worse. And when we get to, you mentioned Manasseh, and it's in here too. I mean, it's off the charts. I mean, every generation or every new person or whatever,
it's like a
the bad just elevates.
It's like
you know, you couldn't think of anything more bad to do, but this next guy thinks of something more bad to do. Mm-hmm. It's just how it progresses.
Manasseh is awful.
Yeah. I mean, it says they did according to
Judah.
To all. It says, all abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. All. Every one of them. They did. Every one.
Makes you sick.
Yeah. And again, that there it says, what Satan could not accomplish with brute military force was achieved through spiritual infiltration.
Inside.
Yeah.
Get through the heart.
Yeah. And I put down, that's a warning for today.
Mm-hmm.
A warning for today.
It's what we're seeing.
Yep.
Play out in our everyday.
Yep. I mean, we got Ahab.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and they sat and ate with the queen, and 450 prophets and 400, you know, prophets.
Baal
sat at the table with her and ate. I mean, she brought all that with her when she came.
She was a high priestess in her land. Her dad was a high priest, and she was a witch. She's a witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Queen of Judah.
Yeah. And can you imagine, though, where it says, Elijah thought he's the only one left. I mean, everybody else, I'm the only good one left. And they're all after me. I'm the only good
God
one.
Says, no.
Yeah. But I mean.
But you would think that.
Yeah, if you're surrounded by that. And then she tells you, see all these guys sitting here? I'm going to kill you. No wonder he put in the bee and boogie and he got gone. I mean, you know, I mean, really. I mean, that would be. Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's a good point, Travis, because I think, and I know we can say this, but Donald Trump is being harassed to the nth degree by Satan and his minions. It feels like he can't win. I think that's what Elijah felt like, but what you have to understand is the end of the story of this. Queen Jezebel doesn't end up well. She ends up falling out the window, thrown out by a eunuch, and eaten by dogs, and then stepped on by horses.
Yeah.
It's not a good ending for her.
Yeah.
These guys that are after Donald Trump, and I'm just going to say it, they're minions of the devil.
Yeah.
They're a Queen Jezebel's.
Yeah.
I mean, over the men, or Ahab's. I would watch for horses and dogs if I were there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when that story, and I say story, but I mean, that's why it makes it so interesting.
Yeah.
When all of those gods of all them of theirs are putting all this stuff on fire and are going to, you know, and you know, Elijah's going, dump more water, you know, dump more water on it. You just do, and but I mean, the odds, one against, now we've seen them come up with two against before, and the number one. This time, the one against the odds is going to come out on top.
And they're all going to get destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't he yell, is your God going to the bathroom? Where is he?
Yeah, he says, where's your God? You mean to cry a little louder? No, they cut themselves and all kind of stuff. Yeah, he can't hear you. He can't hear you. You need to yell.
Them.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah, just sitting there. They just dumped more and more water on that wood. And I mean, just instantly, fire came down. Woof. And that's
remind
it.
Remind you a little bit of Donald Trump?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. But this time, the one.
Oh.
The one won. Against where, when Caleb and Joshua, two against 2 million, they lost.
Right.
But this time, the one won there. And that's what this time, too, probably here, the one.
Eggs them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of that same story.
Yeah.
I love it.
I never thought about it like that, but.
Doesn't it seem the same?
I had heard at one time anybody that tried to go up against him would fall.
Well, and doesn't it feel the same? Because I think all these stories are meant for our teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're not just random stories. We're supposed to learn from this. You can come up against the giants. You can come up against the evil kings. You can come up against, because you've got God on your side. Bring it on. That's really what Elijah was saying. Bring it on, 400.
And it's why those odds are in God's. It's just like Gideon. It's why every mountain you come to, God has to make it so that when that mountain's flattened, There is no doubt who did it. Not one doubt who did it.
Abraham and his 31 hand soldiers. He takes on all those Nephilim kings.
But I mean, there is no doubt. Yeah. Because he doesn't need what few there are left.
No.
I mean, he's in when he comes back in Revelation 9, he's not going to need, we're just going to be watching.
Actually, he does it all by himself.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He doesn't need any, we're just going to be in, we're just going to be in the balcony watching.
I'm going to be real. Yeah. I'm going to be loud cheering. Because I got in trouble for being a loud cheering.
But in these deals, he lets a few of them kind of get in on the victory. Yeah, well, that's how he kept winning those battles against, he'd beat them down to where, all right, boys, you got to be able to handle what's left.
I think it's all these parallel stories we're talking about that are pointing to what the real story is going to be.
Yeah.
These are just a little bit of a picture that we're seeing this one of the big picture.
Yeah.
It's all, this Bible is all being played out.
It all is.
Piece by piece by piece.
And these stories are all happening in front of us now.
And it's, I was going to say, it's just like we talked about too, it's becoming in rapid succession in the last handful of years. Mm-hmm.
And
rapid succession.
And it's not going to stop. It's going to accelerate more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think this reminds me of the Donald Trump story. And I don't know, maybe I shouldn't pick that. But doesn't it feel like that to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, every time he turns around, it's all the forces against one.
All the forces against one.
And you and Mom talked about how he looks younger now than he ever did, and don't know how he could stand up, only because of, well, Mom, you said, what, you said you saw that dream or that deal one time where them two older ladies came along on each side and picked him up?
Yeah, he fell down right before the finish line. One from each side. Yeah, I think about that every once in a while.
Yeah.
That really, you know.
But you watch him. He's not flustered by this. He's going into the Bronx.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bronx, New York, to have a rally.
Even back in 2016 when he was running and they would always come against him, he'd just go have another rally. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
He just,
it was kind of like that water on the duck's back, just keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because his tunnel vision.
Yeah. He is not deterred.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what they want. They want him to look, you know, kind of like keeping your eyes on Jesus when he's walking on the water.
Yeah.
The storm's blowing out here. Keep your eyes on
him.
Keep
on the king. On the prize.
Because
you take your eyes off,
you will sink.
You will sink.
Anyone will sink.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, the more I read this today, I thought, this reminds me.
Yeah.
Our modern life.
Yeah. And we just mentioned Manasseh a while ago. It says, he practiced every abominable deed that God specifically forbade the Israelites. 12 years old. It says he was 12 years old when he came in, when he took over. 12 years old.
Already ruined.
I mean, Hezekiah's father, it destroyed all the stuff we talked about.
Hezekiah
destroyed everything.
Good man.
Then they come back in. And then, I mean, it talks about your sons passing through the fire. Well, that's just,
it's abortion.
The Baal or
Shemosh.
Yeah, or Moloch.
Yeah.
You know, those, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it says he seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's worse than anyone before him.
That's hard to believe.
No.
That's from Hezekiah.
Yeah, and that's just what Tracy talked about. Some kids good and some kids bad. But I mean, to see all the good, and then, I mean, just...
blow it off.
When you take over, to sign all that stuff to get America back on track, and the minute you take over, wipe it all away.
Didn't
we see that? Trump signed all that to get everything back on track.
I know.
The minute Biden moved in, threw it all in the trash can.
One day?
Turned it all back over. Yeah. One day.
I think we are living that of seeing.
But doesn't this story remind you of Walter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ruled by the most corrupt and evil forces we could even imagine.
Yeah.
that foster baby killing, that have, they're lawless. Do you not see that's us now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I don't mean to be depressing.
No.
I'm looking forward to Jesus coming, but I'm just saying, guys, I think these stories are our stories.
Yep. This one line here, it says he seduced. There's the word seduced now.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we talked about, you know, the Bible talks about, I mean, I would associate being seduced with a sexual sin.
Yeah.
So it talks about that being the worst.
And it probably
says
was.
He, yep, seduced the people in rebellion and went beyond any other king mm-hmm. in his wickedness by taking a statue of an idol from a grove and placing it in the holy temple of God. Uh-huh. Now, I line that up with when the Antichrist sits down in the temple.
It's exactly the same thing.
Then, at the 3.5 year, when he sits down. He put that in the temple. I mean, that's to me, that was the first thing that came to my mind.
The place of God.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you see the abomination.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Flee to the mountains.
Yeah. I mean, so here over in Ezekiel says, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, my sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou or thy daughters. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the worst. I mean, that's the worst of the worst.
Us.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about how bad, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So, I just kept reading this.
Today, yeah.
Again, today is my second time to read it, and I thought, if this is so us, this is us today.
Yep. It says, corrupted by idolatry, the southern kingdom was now equal to the Canaanites in the eyes of God. Equal to the Canaanites. And we know where the Canaanites came from.
Yeah.
We can take that clear back to one of the baddest originally.
That would be Genesis 6.
Yeah, back to Ham.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I think some of his lineage, his children came from the Genesis 6 people, the Nephilim-ish, wife-ish.
Yep, I do too. Yep.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, it's somewhere in... One of those studies that I think you must have found somewhere that his wife was, I thought her name was like Naaman, which we said it before, I thought it said she was a full-blown witch.
Yeah, it did. It did say
I think it said, yeah.
And so maybe he was pure, but he mated with someone who was Nephilim.
But I honestly think he probably had a black heart.
Oh, he did, but he may not have been Nephilim.
No, but I think he was
evil.
Yeah,
I think. It's like the Manasseh from Hezekiah.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think. Story. Yes, I think he was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he had Ham, Japheth, and Shem.
Yeah.
They were all raised.
Yeah.
And actually, most people think they were triplets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jesus comes from the bloodline of Shem. I mean, then you got one turn on the other end. Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
And isn't that the story? It started with Cain and Abel. They're from the. Cain and Abel, of course, I think there's different fathers there.
Yeah, but still, yeah. Yeah.
Started.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every time there's more than one, Esau and Jacob.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you always seem to have one.
One good, one bad.
Yeah.
Or one tending to follow God and one not. Yeah.
Yeah. So spiritually, the chosen people of the Lord were so far from the saving faith in the Messiah that they were even worse than the enemies God removed from the promised land for him. Says metaphoric language, all centered on marriage and intimate relationships, like Christ and the church. That's what Again, there's the word spiritual infidelity on down in that paragraph. Trusting in the leadership of great men and women instead of God.
Flawed and evil.
Yep. Yep.
Wicked kings.
Yep. Now that king there says he sacrificed his own children.
Yeah.
Well, what is abortion?
Yep.
Is that not sacrificing your own children?
Yeah, absolutely. On the altar of convenience.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The blood offering.
Yep.
We're ran by wicked kings too.
Yep. Yes.
We are.
Yes. Yes.
Which we wanted. We wanted kings. We got wicked.
Yep.
They're wicked.
Yep. Yep.
This is our story.
Yeah. Then we get into the valley of the son of Hinnom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is in, we talked a lot about this in
Revelation.
Yeah, in Jeremiah, where he talked about where he took the people out.
Yeah.
At the valley of Raphaim, and we've studied, we know what Raphaim is from earlier in the book. It's Nephilim, the dead, not good, certainly not good. Here's Ahaz, 20 years old. He didn't do what was right again. Son of King David.
Just sickening.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you have a good one, then you have, it says more, they burn incense in the valley of Son of Hinnom, burn his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel.
Hey, I looked at an interesting word. In that very first 2 Chronicles 33:6 passage, and he caused his children to pass through the fire. We know what that means. In the valley of the son of Hinnom. He observed times. I looked that up. The word for that, because I like words.
Yeah.
The word for that is augury, or it means omen. So he was doing witchcraft. He observed omens.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's totally a witchcraft word.
Yeah.
So that goes to show how far they'd come. They were practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
That's what that word means.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, we missed that in English by just saying observe times, because that, I observe times.
Yeah.
I mean, I make sure I've got an appointment. That's not what that means. Yeah.
Well, and it says there too, you know, it says he dealt with a familiar spirit.
Yeah.
So that's not the first time, that familiar word, that's not the first time he had dealt with that spirit before.
That's right.
And that spirit was familiar.
This is all witchcraft.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And we miss some of that in English.
I think, yeah. Again, on the other side of where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So,
following the devil.
Yep.
Surprise, surprise.
And again, you know, that was just outside the gates of Jerusalem.
Mm.
And it talks about the east. And we know from studies in the past, you know, Cain sent out east. They go east, which is always interesting to me. If you get kicked out of something, they go to the east, but east is where Christ is coming from. So
he's redeeming it.
That's right. So that, you know, but it's always east of something is where it is. And I remember we talked about, I think it was in the Jeremiah study about, like a big, just a big dump, a festering garbage pit that always burned and stuff, because that's where Jeremiah took them people out there with that clay pot.
It's still there,
and
too.
Crashed that.
Yeah.
And to tell them that that's what they had. Yeah.
It's still there today.
Yeah.
It isn't very pretty.
Nope. Jeremiah talks about the Eastern Gate.
Well, and that for years Jerusalem would dump all their trash out there, and it would be a kind of like a smoldering fire pit, but stinky. And everyone believes that was a real direct correlation to hell, because it's just going to be kind of fiery,
festering,
stinky.
And yeah.
Burning flesh, smelling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be so graphic. No. But, you know, that's what hell's going to be like. It's going to smell awful and burn and smolder. And they said, that's what this was supposed to be kind of a picture of. Probably so.
Yeah. I mean, then we get in where Jeremiah tells them and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle.
Yeah.
You hear about your ears burning.
Burn.
Yeah. It says, and had the known nor the kings of Judah have filled this place with the blood of innocents. That's abortions.
Absolutely.
I put, yep.
Today.
And high places of Baal, burn the sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake not, neither came into my mind. He didn't even think that. Mm-hmm. Hadn't even thought of it, and they came up with it. More than you could even think. Change it to the Valley of Slaughter. They changed the name of
that's
that.
That's because Satan hates humans.
Do what?
Satan hates humans. So to destroy a baby human gives him great pleasure. He hates us. We were made in God's image, and he knows that.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by those that think that he really likes them when they follow
never.
Him. No, he
can't. Never. He hates humans.
This one line I think is from Revelation. It says, their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth.
Yeah, that's an after.
I think that's from Revelation. Again, when you go to the top, again, spiritual infiltration succeeded for the people there. This next one I thought about, when it talks about that valley, when they were burning those candles, even McKenna, she knew about this. Moloch.
Oh, yeah, holding the
kids. Yep. It says, loud drums were played to drown out the cries of the children being sacrificed. And it says that again. It says synonymous to hell itself in Scripture. And I thought about when they talked about that church, when they took those train loads of Jews by, they sang louder so they couldn't hear the people on that train going by that church.
Don't you hate that story?
When I talked about playing those drums, that's the first thing I thought of, was that's exactly why.
Because Satan doesn't have anything new.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything.
But those people knew what it was and sang louder so they wouldn't have to hear them going by.
And I wonder what drums is being played now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yes, Mom, that's right.
That's a good question.
Yeah. That we're, the train is still going by.
Yeah. And that we're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, I had someone ask me once, and it's pretty thought-provoking. If you really believe abortion is murder, and we do, if you really do, then the guy who got sentenced a few years ago for killing an abortion doctor should be a hero to you.
Well,
I mean, that was a tough question to answer. I mean, if he had murdered thousands of babies, and this guy took him out, and that guy's is a younger guy, and he's in prison for life over it, but he said it was worth it. What? And I was asked, what do I think?
And, if you look at what we know about Levitical law.
He did exactly right.
Yeah, that's why Rebecca sent, wasn't it Rebecca, the sent away?
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to lose two sons. Because if he killed one, they could kill the other one.
Well, they just sentenced that woman that blocked the entrance to the abortion clinic. I think she got 57 years.
And all she was doing was praying.
She blocked the entrance to keep them, so that she was saying, we have ways to help you.
But, I mean, she didn't harm any. She didn't. This is the same story.
I mean, it talks about that valley. It has several different names. Kindred, Yenna. Then it follows up with some passages there. Shall be in danger of hell fire.
Yeah.
Into hell, into fire. Cast into hell. I mean, those, anytime one word, the other one's synonymous with it. They run together.
Yeah, they do.
Hell fire. So that smoldering, burning, you talked about really being hell on earth, basically.
Is a picture of that.
Hell. Yeah.
And when they throw the babies, after they Moloch had killed them, they throw the babies into those pits to finish burning up. The smell would, burning flesh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It says the place of Canaanite pagan sacrifice was the closest thing to hell on earth in the ancient world.
Yes. And Israel got duped into that.
Willingly.
America got duped into this abortion thing. You'll hear conservative people say, oh, we're not talking about that abortion because that's a dead dog and that'll cause you to be unelected. Talk about it and get unelected then, isn't it? But they won't.
Yeah.
I think we've gone too far. I don't see any turning back for America. Maybe I'm a negative.
I don't.
It's just tipped so far.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's always, all we have is hope. And Jesus.
Well, we know Jesus is coming
back. Yes, that's what we have.
Well, that's what I mean. But I don't think this...
As
America coming back. Jesus is coming back. That's my hope. The hope that this country is going to rise again to be something... I don't see it.
And, I've heard them several of them in Chronicle where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent... and pray, I will heal their land. The key word to that, two words, is humble yourself and repent. Nobody thinks they do anything wrong.
That's it.
And they're always better than the next person. So humble goes out the door, and if you ain't done nothing wrong, there's nothing to repent for.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, in my mind, I'm not sure how realistic it is to think that that's going to happen. That as a whole, everybody's going to say, you know, there might be one or two people say, I did this wrong or something. And usually when that happens, somebody says, I'm glad you said it. No, I don't have to. It's all on your shoulders. I'm not going to stand up next to you. You can go down yourself.
Yeah, so isn't it interesting that he says, if my people.
Yeah.
Doesn't say
it ain't everybody. It's believers.
Says, if my people.
Who are called by my name.
Oh, yeah. These Israelites in his were his people.
Yes. Chosen people.
Chosen people. And they'd gone through a lot. The southern kingdom was Judah and Benjamin.
Yeah.
And they became as bad as the northern kingdom. And those were his people.
Yeah.
When I think, though, about when he said, if my people, I think about the talk now, you know, from your top, well, I think probably your top preachers is, this all falls at the feet of the church.
Yeah.
Pastors and the congregations. That's what I think when it says, if my people. It
will
comes back to the believers.
And, pray,
yeah.
and turn
yeah.
from their wicked ways.
Yes.
You know?
And it's for the same thing, too, where you said about not necessarily being reelected, but...
Right.
If you say it from the pulpit, then they always say, so you can't mix politics with religion, and you don't want to make somebody mad. But you hear Jack, you hear Greg Laurie, those guys, I mean, Alan Jackson, you mean those
you
main guys, when they're standing up in front of the people, they're telling them, this is wrong, this is, you know, I mean, they don't pull any punches about
there
what's what.
Few.
Yes,
few
you're exactly right. Yep, you're right.
I can't name anybody locally.
Yeah.
We're talking, these have to be hard words. Like I said, that one verse where it said God was very angry, I've read that before, but that was kind of scary. That's a scary verse.
Yeah.
Well, back before the election, the pastor from New Spring, he got up there in front of his congregation and he told them, I'll probably lose some today.
Mama.
And if I do, that's on you. But he says, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And it was about abortion. And he laid it out on the line.
Well, he's few.
Yeah.
And he
Mark.
Told them,
he's good.
This is right and this is wrong. And he says, and I'm going to tell you how me and my wife are going to vote. And he put it out there. And we watched it on TV.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
He flat laid it out there on the line
but that's
in front of his church.
I do think he is one of the locals.
I do too. I think he's probably
yeah.
the only local
yeah.
that I can name.
Yeah.
And he probably got a lot of guff over that too.
Yeah.
He probably did. Good for him.
Yeah, because money, you know.
It takes a lot of money
yeah.
for
yeah.
But you know,
if
the Israelites would have. So there was more Israelites than there was Egyptians.
Yeah.
And if the Israelites would have stood up and faced that head on, they could have overtaken them. And I think that there's more people out there that believe like we do or think kind of like we do. But it's kind of like they're walking around in the wilderness expecting somebody else to say something or to stand up instead of rising up and standing up and hitting the bull with the horns and saying, we ain't putting up with this no more.
See, that's...
I think they're pounding the drums and as the train goes by. I do.
No, la, 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 la.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Because we have been coddled,
mm-hmm.
and cosseted to think that we are above that. In fact, I have a friend whose mother... is married to a retired pastor, Assembly of God pastor. And she tries to tell her mother these things were said. And she said, Tracy, I don't want to hear anything negative. I just want to hear about love. I'm not going to listen to anything else you're saying. And isn't that the
Joel Osteen?
Yes. The
mentality?
Joel, yeah, and isn't it what has crept in? Satan has used...
Yeah.
That love doctrine, don't get me wrong, I love Jesus, you know that. But that love doctrine that has washed over sin, righteousness, the spiritual warfare and all that, it's taken over And there's a plateau in the church where those people won't go above that. They won't listen. It is like Shirley said. They're beating the drum as loud as it could as the train goes by with people screaming on it.
You know, it's like you said, more. When Joshua and Caleb were done, they outnumbered the few places
yes.
where the Nephilim, all they had to do was go
Finish.
In. But we're tired fighting, and we really don't want to. We don't want to do like what Paul's going to tell us in the New Testament.
No.
We don't want to finish the good fight. We'll just coexist with them and get along. So you know, it started there.
It's easy
getting along. Yeah,
it's easy. The lie of the devil is, oh, it's okay. They're not going to bother
yeah.
you.
Because a lot of that would have been written different had they done what they were supposed to do.
We
so,
have
yeah.
a whole different story.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the people coming across the border. You know, my sister had told me one day, she says, we're all immigrants. And I said, it's still not right. They can come in the legal way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be sneaking across the border.
Yeah, my people came in at Homestead.
Nobody
yeah.
has said that they can't come
right.
in.
Right,
just that they cannot come in illegal.
Right, right.
And besides, it's
and bring all that other stuff with you.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. But this generation and the generation before were not taught righteousness. We're not taught that there's a legal and a righteousness. We're taught an entitlement thought. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. The schools, everybody wins. There's no right or wrong.
You can't hurt the feelings.
You can't hurt your feelings. You do what you want to. There are no recompenses. We can't keep you after school. We can't paddle you. We can't assign you extra work. You're all good. Everything you think is fine. And if you think you're a girl, well, just go ahead and act like that. We don't care if you're really a boy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Yeah. Well, it's been a year or two back. When Tammy talked about that school, I think it was in Texas, and about 3/4 of the graduating class wasn't going to graduate because they weren't
enough
done.
Credits?
So they just, instead of letting those that did do the work, instead of letting them graduate, they made them all wait till all the rest of them got so they could all graduate together.
Well, because then no one's feelings are hurt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tammy saw that somewhere. So, yeah.
Well, I haven't.
So, yeah.
Of
Okay, it says, from the flood of Noah's day to an entire generation of Israelites dying in the wilderness for 40 years, to the spiritual corruption in the days of the judges that set the nation on a path to its own destruction, the giants and their super nations were one of Satan's most powerful tools in his war against the holy seed. They also stood, however, as a testimony to God's power and might, because when even one faithful servant trusted in God, he could overcome the mightiest giant, even in the case of the young boy
Amen.
Named David.
Amen.
So, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we come to the end of this chapter. We're thankful, Lord, that even if one person,
Amen.
Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, even if one person comes boldly to the throne and prays for someone or prays for this country, you'll honor that prayer. And we thank you that's true. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you that your promises are there. That your word never returns void, even when sometimes we don't believe it. We thank you, Lord, as it says, help me with my unbelief. Watch over us and be with us. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.